And that is our introductory reading of the Scriptures. So tonight's message is understanding the will of the Lord. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we look into your precious word. It's such a blessing to meet together in the middle of the week and get that boost from your word and the fellowship. And we pray that we can be changed by its power tonight. Give us your guidance and your presence and meet with us now. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So we're going to just walk through the passage. And in this passage, I believe God gives us the steps, if you will, or the prerequisites to finding His will. You know, you hear so much about finding the will of God. I want to know what God's will is for my life. But I personally don't believe God's going to reveal His will to us until some things have happened in our lives to make us ready to hear it. And it starts with verse 15, walk circumspectly. As he says here, see that ye walk circumspectly. First of all, we see the word walk. Notice it doesn't say sit. God expects us to be moving forward for Him. And if we want to know what His will is, I believe it must start with knowing what His known will is and fulfilling it. Walking circumspectly, which means wisely or carefully or diligently. There are some things that we know are God's will for our lives. Some things that we don't have to ask. The Bible says to forgive one another. We know that's God's will. So if we're not doing that, we're not walking circumspectly. And why should we ask God to show us His will if we're not going to obey the basics? We know it's God's will for us to be faithful to church. We know it's God's will for us to pray. We know it's God's will for us to witness. We know it's God's will for us to be in His Word every day, to abstain from all appearance of evil. And we could go on all night. But there are some things that we know are God's will for our lives. And we need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk in those things. God gives understanding. In Christianity, it's exactly the opposite of the way it works in the world. With God, the more that we do, the more that we know. The world says no, the more that we know, then the more that we'll do. But that's not how it works with the Lord. There's a verse that in John 7, let's look over there if we could, John 7, 17. Jesus made an interesting statement about this when he was talking to the religious leaders. Notice what he says, John 7, 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If we're not walking and doing, then we're not going to know. It starts with the doing. There's a verse that we often quote in Psalm 126 about witnessing. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Did you notice the first word there is go, then comes the weeping. Christians want it to be the other way around. Lord, as soon as you give me a burden, as soon as I have tears for the lost, then I'll go witness to them. God says, go witness to them and I'll give you the tears. It starts with obedience. And if we want to know the will of God, it starts with walking circumspectly. When you look in the Scriptures, did you notice that whenever God called somebody, He called people that were busy, already doing something else? He didn't call people that were just sitting around doing nothing. He called people that were serving. When he wanted a leader for Israel, he called Moses caring for the sheep. When he wanted someone to fight Goliath, he called someone who was already looking after sheep and had already killed a lion. When he wanted a prophet to replace Elijah, he chose Elisha plowing 12 yoke of oxen. And when he wanted disciples, he didn't choose people that were sitting around. He chose people that were fishing, tax collectors, people that were already working. And so God says, walk circumspectly, diligently, carefully, wisely. If we want to know God's will, it starts with walking in God's known will. There are some things that we all know God wants us to do. If we're not doing those things, why bother asking God for the more elaborate things regarding His will? if we're not doing the basic things that we know are His will. So it starts there with walking circumspectly. Go to Colossians 1. We'll look at one more passage on this and then move on to the second prerequisite. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Notice the Bible says, "For this cause we also do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now, if you look carefully at this passage, it's almost circular. In verse 9, it says, "Filled with knowledge and spiritual and understanding, that you might walk worthy." And as you're walking worthy, it says you're increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that interesting? You know, the people that grow the most and the fastest are the people that are serving the Lord. It's true in a local church. The best way to learn the Bible is to teach it. And the best way to grow in your faith is to put it into action. So God, number one, if we're going to know His will, we've got to walk circumspectly. Do what we already know is His will. Number two, notice He says in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming, that means to buy back. We can't change the past. If we've wasted our time, if we've wasted our lives. But we can certainly buy back time for God in the future. We can certainly manage our time more wisely because God and His cause are worth it. And notice, the days are evil. Well, these two things are connected because, let's face it, it's hard to redeem the time because the days are evil. It means that we tend to evil because we're sinners, and it means that we live among evil. Therefore, what's God say? Redeem the time because the days are evil. God's, if you go to Psalm 90, verse 12, David here talked about this. But if we want to know God's will, God wants us to be good time managers. We've all been given the same amount. What are we using it for? Are we wasting it or are we using it for the cause of Jesus Christ? Notice David said in Psalm 90, "So teach us to number our days," verse 12, "that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." He says, teach us to number our days. Teach us to acknowledge that we only have so much time. We don't know how much because Jesus could blow the trumpet tomorrow. But number our days. Acknowledge that we only have a short amount of time, so use it wisely. Now God says in Amos 6:1, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." And Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 20 about people being called to work in His vineyard. And in the course of the parable, He says, "Why are you standing here all the day idle? Why aren't you working?" I think that parable was for us. Why aren't you busy? Why aren't you redeeming the time? Now, these two things kind of go together, walking circumspectly and redeeming the time. But we cannot ask God to show us His will if we're wasting the time He's given us on ourselves or on sin. We need to redeem it because the days are evil. You know, Jesus said the laborers are few. I think part of that is because there's too many Christians that aren't redeeming the time. They're wasting it. So if we want to know God's will, number one, walk circumspectly. Number two, redeem the time. Number three, notice in verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." If we want to know the will of God, God says we need to be filled with the Spirit. Notice He says in verse 17, "understanding what the will of the Lord is." So I think God has revealed to us in that verse that it is possible to know His will. I mean, how many times have you heard someone say, "Oh, I just can't find the will of God. It's this thing that's just out there and I just can't reach it. It's beyond my grasp." God says right here, understanding what the will of the Lord is, which means it's possible to know the will of the Lord. And He'll reveal it to us through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. But I don't think He's going to reveal it to us if we're not filled with the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit who's going to do the revealing. That's one of the reasons why He's here, is to guide us into all truth, to teach us all things about Jesus Christ and His Word. And so those two things, again, they're connected. Being filled and understanding the will of the Lord, you can't have one without the other. Now, what about this matter of being filled? Well, you can't fill something that's not empty. That's the hard part, isn't it? Because we're so filled of all this other stuff. It doesn't need to be there, especially if we got saved later in life. And that takes time. Giving the Spirit control of our thoughts, our imaginations, our ambitions, our goals, our choices, our affections, everything. That takes time. That takes yielding. That takes, as Paul said, I die daily. In Romans 8:14, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He's here ready to lead us in the will of God. But He's only going to do it if we can hear Him. And we can only hear Him if we're walking in Him, filled with Him. Right? Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, we recently had that message in the book of Acts. We know the evidences of being filled. They're all listed for us there in that passage we looked at in Acts chapter 4. But primarily, if we're filled with the Spirit of God, we'll know it. Because we won't be able to help ourselves. We're going to have to tell other people about Jesus. And we're going to be yielding the fruit of the Spirit. It'll be a natural outcome of being filled with the Spirit. So if we want to know the will of God, we're going to be filled. And by the way, part of being filled is verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's scriptural. This verse is often used to talk about singing in church, but that's not the context, is it? It's singing to your... speaking to yourselves. Finding that psalm and hymn and spiritual song and meditating on it and letting it be a part of your life through the day. That helps us. Didn't Joshua say, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditating in His Word. That's part of being filled. So, number one, walk circumspectly. Just do God's known will. If we're walking in disobedience, there's no point in wondering what God's will is, because we're not in it anyway. Number two, redeem the time. Number three, be filled with the Spirit. And number four, verse 20, I personally think this is a difficult one. Not the giving thanks part, but the giving thanks always for all things. These words like always and all. Think about what God is saying there. It means we're praising Him all the time and we're praising Him for everything. Even the quote-unquote bad things that happen to us throughout the day and the week and the month, we're thanking God for them. Do we do that? Or do we only thank Him for the quote-unquote good things? Now, I keep saying quote-unquote because in God's program, everything is good, isn't it? We know that all things work together for good. But things that are unpleasant, I'll say it that way, maybe, God says, give thanks for them. All things. Doesn't the Bible say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good? In Psalm 34:8. God is good. And God is telling us here to give thanks, if you can circle in your Bible and you're okay with that, always for all things. What else does God need to say? David said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. We need to be praising the Lord all the time. Because He's good all the time. And He's blessing us all the time. He's blessing us with trials. He's blessing us with people that are hard to get along with. He's blessing us with people attacking us. Isn't God good? Those things are good for us. We've seen that in the Scriptures enough times. But do we thank Him always for all things? If we're not living that sort of a life of gratitude, I don't believe we're going to be able to find God's will. Because our attitude is wrong. If our attitude isn't that God loves me and God wants what's best for me, and no matter what He brings into my life, He knows what He's doing. It's part of His plan. It's part of His will. And He makes no mistakes. If that's our attitude, then we're in the right place to hear Him. But if our attitude is, oh, why, Lord? Why'd you let this happen? Oh, Lord, this shouldn't have happened. What are we saying? That God makes mistakes? That God doesn't do what's best for us? Which those things are not true. So give me thanks always for all things. And then the easiest, number 5, submitting. I was kidding about it being the easiest. If we want to know God's will, we need to live a submissive Christian life. Because a Christian life is a life of submission. Even in this, the rest of this chapter, in verse 21, to one another. In verse 22, wives, be submissive to their husbands. In verse 24, husbands, be submissive to Jesus Christ. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, be submissive to your parents. That's just here. 1 Peter says we're to be submissive to the laws of the land. The Bible tells us we're to be submissive to our employer. We're to be submissive. Younger ones are to be submissive to their elders. And we could go on and on and on. It's all about submission. But it's ultimately submitting to God, isn't it? Which takes us to Romans 12. So let's turn there. I know most of you know it by heart, but let's turn over there. Because that also talks about the will of God. And I want you to see that God connects surrender or sacrifice to the will of God. Isn't that interesting that the two are connected? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Does that sound like submission? Yep. That is 100% submission. Giving yourself completely to God and saying, I 100% belong to you. You set the rules. You get to say yes or no. You're in control of my life. Living sacrifice. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. There it is. Will of God. We want the will of God. We've got to be willing to be submissive to God. A living sacrifice. And part of being submissive to God is being submissive to whatever authority God has placed over us on this earth. And there are plenty of them. But we get this attitude of pride. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to boss me around. And then we're in that place where we can't hear. So it's beautiful. God made this so easy for us. If we'll just fulfill these 5 things, which are all a challenge, God's promised that we can understand what the will of the Lord is. Walk circumspectly, redeem the time, be filled with the Spirit, live a life filled with gratitude, giving thanks always for all things, and being submissive. And then, verse 17, we can understand what the will of the Lord is. And I would hope that that would be all of our desire, is to know the will of the Lord for our lives, and that we would be willing to walk this kind of life so that God can lead us each step of the way. And we can get to the end of our lives and hopefully say like Paul, I have finished my course. I've done what God called me to do. I wasn't perfect. I made a lot of mistakes. But I did what God wanted me to do. That should be our goal. I finished my course. Understanding the will of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, it's such a